8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Knotfest.com presents Talk to Me. With over 300 interviews under his belt and 6 years running, your host Joshua Toomey interviews metal and rock's heaviest hitters. Follow the show at Talk to Me Talk. Here's your host, Joshua Toomey.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Talk to Me here on Knotfest.com. As always, I am Joshua Toomey, joined by the one, the only Chris Aiken. Chris, how we doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I am doing well, doing well. We've got the great Necro Goblicon on the show this week with their new album, The Fundamental Slimes and Humorous, out April 1st. And man, what a great band, man. What a fun band.
Yeah, now can you say their name 5 times in a row fast?
I cannot. as you guys will hear, like I don't know how well I'll edit the video, but I edited the intro to the podcast well enough to where I edited out my calling them everything but what their band name is.
Nice. Well, it's a hard name to it doesn't come off the tongue at all, you know. It's one of those names that you got to literally stop. You got to take that pause and think, hey, here's the guys from Necro Goblicon. You got to really kind of time through it.
But yeah, great interview with those guys over there at Necro Goblicon. And man, you know, it finally happened, Chris. I'm so excited. I have a huge announcement for you. It happened.
All right. What do we got?
I'm driving down the road the other day.
Yeah.
And well, my son had called me a few days earlier and we were on the phone and he goes, and this is my SoundCloud rapper son.
Okay.
You know, that all he listens to is SoundCloud rap and auto-tune rap.
Sure.
And he randomly just goes, "Sad But True is the best song ever written." And I was like, all right, I can handle that. You know, Black Album, you know, little intro to Metallica there. And we're driving down the road the other day and he has his headphones in and they're way too loud, like a kid would normally listen. And I'm like kind of picking out something. I'm like, is that, are you listening to Master of Puppets? and he goes, yeah. I'm like, when did you start listening to Master of Puppets? Like, when did this happen? I think what happened was we went to see the Batman.
Okay.
And the Nirvana song Something in the Way is played a few times in the movie.
Sure.
And so after the movie he goes to Spotify, he's listening to Nirvana. I think Nirvana leads to Metallica, and I think he's in like this weird Metallica kick right now. And it took every ounce of my body not to run home and like hand him the guitar and teach him, you know, Understand Man. I'm like, all right, play it cool. Play it cool.
Yeah. You were instantly like, well, if you like Metallica, let me introduce you to Pantera. Right?
What do you think about Cannibal Corpse?
Yeah.
But all those years of like trying to shove it down his throat, you know, he found it on his own and now he seems to be listening to it. So the first step, you know, is in.
He's finally growing up. He's finally outgrowing that kiddie rap and going to the manly Metallica.
There we go. So, yeah. So, well, since we're such a huge heavy metal show, I did want to talk a little news. And right. We took last week off. I somehow got sick and pink eye, like, all in the same day. And, yeah, so last week did not happen.
No.
But,
but we're back.
But since we're here, we're a huge metal show. Yeah. We're on the Knotfest platform, you know, Slipknot in the background. You got your Pantera background. Let's talk a little Dolly Parton.
Perfect.
And you're there in Cleveland. You know, you're there with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the institute that is, the well-respected, and nothing ever comes out of there that's
good.
That's not taken lightly, man. We live and die by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah, some people do, unfortunately. I do not prescribe to that method, though. I think it's a joke. But and stories like this, bravo to Dolly, and we'll get there in a second. But this just kind of reinforces the fact that it's a sham. It's a total sham.
So when the nominations came out for this year's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, obviously Dolly Parton is on there. Mm-hmm. And then Dolly last week comes out and says, "Dolly here, even though I am extremely flattered and grateful to be nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I don't feel that I've earned that right. I really do not want votes to be split because of me, so I must respectfully bow out. I do hope that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame will understand and be willing to consider me again if I'm ever worthy. This has, however, inspired me to put out a hopefully great rock and roll album at some point in the future, which I have always wanted to do. My husband is a total rock and roll freak and has always encouraged me to do one. I wish all of the nominees good luck, and thank you again for the compliment. Rock on, Dolly Parton.
See, I love that. She at least gets it. She gets that as a country star, she's not supposed to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But knowing the stupid Rock Hall, they'll say, well, she's been replaced by Ja Rule. You know, well, I mean, that's just the way they are. They're so stupid.
Well, then we'll come with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's rebuttal.
Oh, good.
All of us in the music community have seen Dolly Parton's thoughtful note expressing her feeling that she has not earned the right to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. In addition to her incredible talent as an artist, her humility is another reason Dolly is a beloved icon by millions of fans from around the world. From its inception, rock and roll has deep roots in rhythm and blues and country music. It is not defined by any one genre, rather a sound that moves youth culture. Dolly Parton's music impacted a generation of young fans and influenced countless artists that followed. Her nomination to be considered for the induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame followed the same process as all other artists who have been considered. Dolly's nomination, along with the other 16 for the class of 2022, was sent out earlier this month to our 1,200 general ballot voters, the majority of whom are artists themselves, for consideration for induction at our ceremony. We are in awe of Dolly's brilliant talent and pioneering spirit and are proud to have nominated her for induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So they're like, no, Dolly, we're not taking you off the ballot.
this is why Jan Wenner and all of those on the board of the Rock Hall are just fucking idiots. They're just fucking idiots. She acknowledges that she doesn't belong in there. This is the person that made the music. And, well, too bad, because we think so. What a pretentious bunch of dicks.
Too bad.
You know, that's literally what they told her is like, your career is not as important because we say so, or it's more important because we say so. It's like, who the hell are they to tell her that she should or shouldn't be in this stupid thing? This is ridiculous. It's like they've taken charge of her career or control of at least her identity. And for this award, they're going to force feed it. So now, you know, she's going to get in because of this, you know, she's going to get in. And then they're going to make her look bad if she doesn't show up. I can't stand the Rock Hall. I wish somebody would come up with a motorboat and just attach to one of the legs of that thing and pull it out into the lake. Stupid-ass building.
Well, I will say, when they, you know, they've, like they said, you know, it's always the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is a very hard thing to quantify. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is very hard, yeah, to quantify, to have a definition of, because the term rock and roll means everything from, you know, what we think of like Metallica and Pantera all the way back to, you know, Chet Atkins and those guys, you know, or Les Paul, or, you know, the early stuff that's like rock and roll, like quote unquote rock and roll. So, I mean, I looked it up. There's 11 artists that are considered country music in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame: Chet Atkins, Johnny Cash, Floyd Kramer, Bill Monroe, Jimmy Rogers, Hank Williams, Bob Wills and his Texas Playboys. So with that being like the template that's already set, when it came out that Dolly was on the ballot, I would have voted for Dolly, because there are country artists in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And that's when you get into the whole, why is Ja Rule in the Rock and Roll? You know, not that he is, but I'm just saying, like, you
Madonna
know,
or whatever.
Yeah. Come on. All those guys. But then, like, when you truly say, like, what is rock and roll, it's like, you know, they kind of said it in the statement where they say, a sound that moves the youth culture.
Okay, well, then anything is rock and roll.
Yeah.
And those kids that used to beat on empty buckets, then they're rock and roll because they're out on the street and people are tapping their toe to it. Get out of here with this nonsense. Here's the problem. with the stupid ass Rock Hall. And I am 1,000,000% against the Rock Hall. I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate that it's here. I hate that it misrepresents my city. I hate that it's an embarrassment. And it is on every level. It's a fucking embarrassment to Cleveland anyway. The problem I have with exactly what you're saying is that they're not quantifying when these things were considered rock and roll. Chet Atkins is not considered rock and roll. Chet Atkins was considered country always. You know, maybe in the beginning when there wasn't subgenre of country, he was considered rock and roll,
right?
Because he wasn't Lawrence Welk. But that doesn't quantify him to be inducted into what's allegedly a prestigious representation of the best of the best. If you ask 10,000 people, 10,000, I'll give you a big number, that are rock fans that are ages 50 to 70. So that's people that have basically been around for the entire run of rock and roll. No one is saying Chet Atkins when you ask them to list their top 10, 15, 20, 30, or 50. Right. No one is saying Dolly Parton. No one is saying Garth Brooks. No one, and I'm not saying that these people are not immensely talented. They are in what they do. Change the name of the building then, because you're not truly representing rock and roll. Cleveland was named the rock and roll capital of the world, not because they had a lot of great radio stations, you know, it's because they had one. They had the one that Alan Freed was on that played a specific type of music. And now that's gone. Now it's Madonna and NWA. And I love those bands. Don't get me wrong. If this place was called the Music Hall of Fame, I'd be all for it. But if you're going to call it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, then stick to rock and roll. You know, you can't just keep putting anything that you want in there. What's next? Dua Lipa? Is she going to be in there? Is she a contender? You know, I mean, stop it. Well, she probably is. She probably is. Ariana Grande, right on course to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Get out of here with this nonsense.
I think that, you know, you and I have talked in the past about our admiration of Garth Brooks.
Yeah.
And you can say that when you go to a Garth Brooks show, it's a rock concert. I mean, he's rocking up there. Like, there's, so I mean, at some point, he probably will be.
Oh, he will.
Looked at for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
He will. But musically, he's not a rock. I mean, unless you're going to go with the Chris Gaines record, which, you know, he's right. Not a rock guy. I mean, I love Garth Brooks, but Garth Brooks is clearly a country guy, as country as it comes, with the with the liquor soaked drawl and the, you know, the deeper voice and the acoustic guitar on damn near every song. He's a country guy. You know, it's kind of like the argument of is Van Halen heavy metal?
Right.
You know, Van Halen, not heavy metal, really. I mean, some people will say that they are, or they'll say that, like, Deep Purple is heavy metal. You know, no, they're not. You know, it's...
Right.
It's... Quantify it as what it is, or change the name of the building. Change it to the Music Hall of Fame, because that's what it is now.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely... I think one guy on the list here, obviously Johnny Cash... Andy was inducted in 1992, so that would have been before all the Rick Rubin stuff.
Sure.
You know, that guy was rock and roll. Like, he was, but he was in an era that rock and roll really wasn't a thing yet. You know, he was on Sun Records, obviously came up with Jerry Lee and Elvis and all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But he definitely played much more of a country music style, but he was rock and roll as a person, you know. So it's so him being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you're like, that's a no-brainer, because he was rock and roll. Like, he was.
See, but if they put up two true boundaries of what it is, he wouldn't be.
Right.
I mean, and that's the way I think it should be. If you want to have a country Hall of Fame, which I'm sure there is one.
There is one, yeah.
You know, I'm sure there's a country Hall of Fame, and I'm sure that Metallica's not in it. You know, and Metallica, I mean, maybe they make it because of the Outlaw Torn, or, you know, or what was it, Mama Said. You know, so does that make Metallica quantified to be in the Country Music Hall of Fame because they've done a song that sounds country? I mean, where's the line? That's my problem with it is you build it, you take the reputation of this city, which is the rock and roll capital of the world, allegedly, you know, and then you shit on it with Madonna and with Chick. And with, you know, all these artists that don't belong in it, NWA, Form the Rap Hall of Fame somewhere. Right. You know, build them next to each other if that's the way you want to do it. Make Music Row or something. And have all these different Hall of Fames. But quantify them as they should be. You know, put the artists in as they should be in the right places. And Dolly Parton, God bless her. I don't know that I'm a fan. I really can't name one song. Did she do 9 to 5? Was that her?
Working yeah, and Jolene and, originally wrote I Will Always Love You. And, you know,
I don't know Dolly's music very much.
I listened to the new Dolly Parton album the other day. Not too bad, you know.
I'm sure she's talented. I mean, I know a ton of people that love her and just say that she's awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm sure she's good in her lane. Even she acknowledges that rock and roll is not her lane.
Right.
You know, so if the artist acknowledges that they don't belong, why does the building think that they know more than the artist?
I do find it weird. I guess she probably could have came out with this a little while ago, like when it was first initially posted, and maybe just for the simple fact that ballots were already sent out, they were like, yeah, we can't really do it now. But yeah, I mean, it is kind of weird that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is not honoring her request either.
Well, they never do. It's the same as when they have guys from bands and they don't bring them in. Same exact thing. It's that whole, well, we're not going to bring them in because they're not part of this lineup. We're acknowledging this lineup or these people, or, you know, when they put all their politics into it. It's just, look, the place is a sham. I'm just going to say, you hit on the real hot button topic for me, because I hate that fucking place. It's an embarrassment to my city. It's the Baker Mayfield of Cleveland right now. It's a total fucking embarrassment of my city.
That's our segment of football talk. But yeah, I think my final thoughts on it, the way the parameters are set up right now, I would vote for Dolly Parton for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, just because of the history of the artists that are already in there. Can't go wrong with little Jolene in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But I get why she doesn't want to be in it. And yeah. You know, maybe if she came out with this before the ballots were sent out, maybe the voters would have, you know, listened to her. But, you know, there's no telling how many ballots were already sent back in. So,
but you couldn't just say, well, we won't count that vote.
Yeah. But then that person only gets like 4 votes rather than 5. And ask that person, do you go, hey, you know, who would you rather? You know, it is funny, though, because it's of the 17 artists nominated, Judas Priest, Eminem, Lionel Richie, Rage Against the Machine, and Beck. So, I mean, that's the gambit of rock and roll right there.
Yeah, which is nonsense. Eminem.
Right.
You know, all those big Eminem rockers that you think of, right?
Right.
Come on.
Oh, man. Well, speaking of rappers and rockers, I did want to hit on something. We probably don't have to do too much on this one. But Mikey Doling, friend of the show, been on the show many times, of Snot. Let me see how I can start this one. When Limp Bizkit recently put out a you know, promo for a tour, and it said that they were taking out Snot, and it's you know, spelled $ for the S-N-O-T. So I'm like, is that, is it not? I'm like, it could be. So I had to do some more investigation into it, and to find out that it's a SoundCloud rapper, an up-and-coming, you know, underground rapper named Snot.
Okay.
And so Mikey posts a video a few days later, because I was really curious to see what he was going to say about this, because sure, there was some confusion for me, and I'm a big fan of Limp Bizkit. I'm a big fan of Snot.
Sure.
I was like, oh, that's cool. Kind of checking it out. To kind of paraphrase, Mikey just, you know, did the whole, threw up his cell phone, posted a video to his Facebook, and said, Mikey Doling here from The Real Snot. I'm making this video because there's a young rapper kid out there calling himself Snot. I heard about him about a year and a half ago. I didn't think nothing of it because he was in the hip hop world. Rapper. Different worlds altogether. Well, now he has stepped into our lane and I need to address it. Limp Bizkit just posted a new tour and they're taking this rapper kid named Snot on tour with them. And I wanted to say to Limp Bizkit frontman Fred Durst, if you see this video, how dare you, man? You were friends with Snot. Snot loved you. Came on stage with us and performed. Lynn then went on stage in Boston, and you know the incident I'm talking about. That's the one where, actually, if you go to Knotfest YouTube, he explains that on on my show, where Lynn, you know, basically got arrested for coming out of the giant toilet on the Limp Bizkit stage and got arrested for indecent exposure.
Right.
So we were friends. We shared drinks, stage, music, and all that. And all these years later, you take an artist named Snot on tour with you. What the fuck is that, man? That's bullshit. I think, in my personal opinion, I think Mikey started out on the right path with this.
Right.
But then when he kind of started attacking Limp Bizkit for taking the snot out, this other snot out with him, kind of threw me off because he goes, I heard about him about a year and a half ago. Didn't think nothing of it because he was in the hip hop world. Mm-hmm. Totally get that. Different worlds altogether.
Sure.
But now that Limp Bizkit is taking him out, he needs to address it. There's tons of, if you go back in the history of bands and you go, yeah, we used to be called this, but when we got signed, we found out there was an old blues guy named this, so we had to change our name.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, we used to be called this, but we didn't know, you know, we found out that when we got signed that there was an old band from the 60s called that in Texas or something. You know, this isn't new.
Sure.
But the one thing that's really bothering me about this is like the rapper Snot, he posted on his Twitter, where did he say it? It's something just really quick.
He just basically said, chill, man.
he just says, old man mad about my name.
Yeah.
And I'm like, old man mad about my name. That's our generation kind of being attacked by a younger generation. But you're using the name of his band. Yeah. And Limp Bizkit and Snot toured together back in the day. And so when Limp Bizkit posts a tour poster that says Snot is going out on tour with them, that's market confusion. That's the exact, that's trademark. That's everything. You know, I can't name myself Slayer with a dollar sign LAYER and get away with that. Or, you know, my new band's called McDonald's with a, you know, dollar sign at the end or something, right. You know, like, so it's just funny how many people are attacking Mikey for this. I read the kid's Twitter. Like, I went to his Twitter, read all his fans, mm-hmm. and it's funny, like, oh, this old head is just mad, or, oh, they suck and you rule, and it has nothing to do with that.
Right.
It has everything to do with trademark and just market confusion. I think, you know, and even in the Blabbermouth headline, you know, the Blabbermouth articles or Limp Bizkit posting about, you know, this tour coming up, there were people in the comment section like going is like it, who's gonna sing for Snot,
right?
You know, which version of Snot is this? Oh my god, I can't believe Snot's back together. Like, there were people in there confused.
Sure. I guess my question to Mikey would be, why aren't they just filing an injunction?
Well, I kind of wonder, like, he took the video down, so I don't know if that has anything to do with he was just sick of the backlash he was getting, or if he, you know, was maybe told to take it down. Because, like I said, you know, if he's a rapper and it's a totally different world and Snot's a pretty common name, and they were also trying to, I don't know if I was reading it right on the Twitter, but even the dollar sign Not, mm-hmm. somebody was trying to say that his name is not actually Snot. It's actually dollar sign Not.
Like dollar it's, Not, like he has no money?
Something like that, yeah. So it's like, it's not necessarily Snot, but... You know, most people call him Snot or something like that, but technically it's, you know, but that's when you get down to, you know, there are no band names left, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why you see so many bands out there with, you know, actually on this tour also Wargasm UK, because there's other Wargasms or even Ghost, you know, the band Ghost is technically Ghost BC, but they go by Ghost, you know, most of the time. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of examples out there of all of this, but yeah, it just sucks that Mikey and those guys are having to go through this.
Yeah, it does. I mean, and the Fred Durst thing, do you really think Fred Durst was sitting in a room saying, okay, this is who I want to open?
Right.
He was too busy picking his new hair to worry about that. You know, yeah, well,
see what if the new wig fits.
Yeah, exactly. I don't, I highly doubt Fred Durst was picking the bands that are on this tour. I could be wrong on that.
But I think that with him, I think he probably, he at least okayed it, or
he may have, but
you know, because I mean, a lot of these, a lot of times these guys, you know, they put in for tours, and
yeah,
you know, they say Limp Bizkit's going out, you know, we would like to go on tour with them. But I do wonder,
even if we go the other way, even if we go the other way and say that he did see the name and was like, oh, okay. A, is he sure it's not the, you know, right, the snot that he knew? Or B, does he not think, man, they've been long gone for 15 years or whatever, since didn't they break up after the Vexed era?
Yes. I think they were showing that they had done shows as recent as 2014.
Okay, so even that's eight years.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean, that's a long time. Yeah. I mean, it's a long time that it hasn't been an entity. You know, I mean, so in Mikey's mind, is he saying that anybody that ever played a show or had any involvement with Snot should not work with this artist? You know?
Yeah. I mean,
where's that line? Is Seven Dust off limits because they did the, you know, the tribute song?
I mean, you would almost think that, I mean, you know, take Snot out of it and say that, you know, any other band that toured with Limp Bizkit back then, you know,
yeah,
say
Rammstein,
Slipknot with a, right, with a dollar sign wanted to go on tour with,
yeah,
you know, dollar sign Lipknot, you know, wanted to go on tour with Limp Bizkit, you know, it's such a crazy, you know, I guess line they're talking about here, but
it is. I mean, it's probably more, I you know, Mikey a lot better than me.
Yeah.
Is it, I almost wonder if it's more just it brings up a lot of emotional pain and shit. It's like, oh man, these were the good times, we were on our way, and this is, and it all died, and it makes him into a, you know, a shitty mood.
Right.
And then he just kind of, between that and social media, it just gets to a head and he just lashed out.
Well, I think I did see him tagged in a lot of stuff. So, I mean, people were like, is this you? Is this not you? Like, there's, right. So I think that's why he had to make this video. Again, I think attacking Fred Durst and those guys was kind of the weird way to go about it. Cause like I said, he does start it out where I was, where my head is in the whole thing, you know,
yeah.
Because obviously he said he's heard about him for a year and a half. So, I mean, obviously they haven't done anything with him because A, he was a rapper, B, he was underground, you know, totally different worlds and all this other stuff. But yeah, now you've kind of crossed over into Mikey's world.
Yeah. I think the right move would have been to contact the rapper themselves and work out some kind of a tour. The Snot and Snot tour.
Snot tour.
That would, that would get attention. That would probably bring asses in the seats.
Yeah.
Honestly.
It's just crazy. I think I'm more with Mikey on the trademark of it rather than the sentimental value of a Limp Bizkit tour.
Yeah. I mean, dude, at this point, I mean, it's Limp Bizkit and whoever shows up. I mean, they're at that level now, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So Snot the rapper, Snot the band. It's not the gunk coming out of your face. It's not going to matter. It's,
right?
You know, it's still a Limp Bizkit show, period. So I think Mikey might be worrying a little too much about it. But, you know, hey, whatever. You know, I'm with him in that if I was at a Limp Bizkit show, I doubt I want to see some SoundCloud rapper. But, right. You know, hey, yeah. That being said, you don't, you know, I always question when artists say that other artists shouldn't be allowed to do something, to perform. Like you said, he's known about it for a year and a half. The band has known about it for a year and a half. They haven't put an injunction on him. Sounds like they've kind of acknowledged that the door's open to use the name, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. I mean, we'll bring it into our worlds. Mm-hmm. So, Talk To Me. My, you know, Talk and the last name To Me.
Mm-hmm.
I technically am not the first person to use this.
Sure.
There is a Talk To Me speech pathologist that actually posted some stuff about a year before I started. It's one of those things where I thought about the show, put the show together, and then didn't even think to Google it because it just didn't even cross my mind.
Sure.
And then occasionally I'll get like hashtag Talk To Me and it'll be of the speech pathologist or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's a reporter in Arkansas or something like that. Her last name's To Me, and she's a lot of the at Talk To Me stuff. If you find her on Twitter and things like that. So, I mean, technically, you know, none of them have ever reached out to me. TalkToMe.com, I think, is a real estate agent. Like, so there's like four of us already.
Right.
So that's out there. But, you know, and then the classic metal show, which is, you know, you're a part of. I mean, every time you turn around, there's a, you know, classic hard metal show.
Yeah,
or, you know, there's variations of it. So I'm assuming, you know, if another classic metal show came along that, you know, maybe spelt it a little bit differently or something like that, but you're not really threatened by them because you've been around for so long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if another classic metal show started to get steam and, you know, moved on to, say, Sirius XM or something like that, then I think you would be like, hey.
Yeah, I don't know.
But right now, I don't know how threatened you guys are about some of these other classic hard rock metal shows that are out there.
If there was another one doing that kind of business, I might quit mine and go to that one.
Right.
No, I mean, you're right, though, dude. And we've been tagged a million times on that metal show.
Right.
People, dude, we play this clip all the time on the CMS of Ripper was hanging out with Eddie Trunk, and then he was on stage performing with Judas Priest, and he said, I'm going to go backstage and party with Eddie Trunk and that classic metal show. And it's like, you know, and we use it as kind of a goof, but right. I mean, it happens. It happens all the time. And, dude, my other show, Aftershocks, there's 900 Aftershocks podcasts right. out there. That's why we kind of had to add the TV part to it, to where it's now Aftershocks TV,
nice.
Because there was so many Aftershocks. I get it. I certainly get it. I don't think Mikey's wrong.
Yeah.
The thing is like, you know, like you said with us, if we got wind of it and we were really worried about it, we would file an injunction fairly immediately. You know, right. we have trademarked. There is a CMS Enterprises Inc. That is trademarked for the show and, you know, maintains all of our legal nonsense. But if it was a situation where they've known for a while, and Mikey kind of shot himself in the foot on any kind of legal by saying that they've known about him for a year and a half.
Yeah.
You know, file the injunction. And if not, don't worry about it.
We got time for one. Do you want to do Rob Zombie or do you want to do Phil Anselmo?
Either or, man.
Let's do Anselmo. The Rob Zombie thing is just the tour that they announced. Rob Zombie Mudvayne Freaks on Parade tour with Static X and Power Man 5000 just proves to everybody that nu metal is back.
And, why isn't Primer 55 on the tour?
they need to throw them on a few of these dates.
Yeah, no kidding.
So yeah, guys, go check out Rob Zombie Mudvayne. Static X, Power Man 5000.
So I guess, does that mean that Hell Yeah is officially done? Or are they still doing, but they're just taking a break or what?
Last I heard, I think that they're just kind of on a break.
Okay.
But, you know, everybody wants that Mudvayne.
Yeah.
They're one band that it blows my mind that they're that big. Like, I just don't remember them being
I don't remember them being
big.
Very big either. I mean, they were big.
Yeah.
But the times that I saw them were all at, like, 3,000 seaters or less. You know, a lot of clubs. I saw them in clubs two or three times, and the biggest show I ever saw was Mudvayne, Nothing Face, I think Disturbed was the headliner, and somebody else, and it was at like a 3,000 seat arena here in Cleveland at the Nautica stage. So yeah, I don't remember them being, you know, I don't ever remember them playing a 10,000 seat place ever.
No, well, a few times I saw them, yeah, they were big club. But yeah, now they're co-headlining with Rob Zombies.
That's crazy.
That's what happens when you go away for a while. You come back bigger than ever.
Yep.
Prime 55. let's move on to you know, we both have a lot of love for Phil Anselmo.
We do.
This came out about last week, I think, during my pink eye hiatus. But Phil Anselmo wants to use his Rob Halford style vocal range again for an old school metal project.
Mm.
I'm just like,
there's a lot that could be bad there with that. The real question I have is, can he still do the voice? I know he'd like to do that kind of a record, but can he do that? I mean, he has been barking for 40 years now, since what, 80, well, 80, what, 8? Wasn't that the last time? He used it on what?
Well, he did on Cowboys from Hell a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Not a ton.
Side B of the cassette, if you had the cassette.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, it's I don't know if he has that range. I mean, I think that, the few times that I saw Phil Anselmo and the Illegals doing the Pantera set twice. The second time was better. I think when we got the down, I think it's the down live stream, he sounds great.
Yeah, he does.
There was a few times where like I was like, I think his voice is gone. But the down live stream, he sounded great. But that's still like that's a lower register, gravelly, sure. You know, southerny singing voice. I just don't know, man. I don't know if he has that range in him.
Yeah. I mean, dude, if he wants to convince us, just re-record Message in Blood and let's just hear it. You know, let's hear that at the end of it and let's hear him do it. I mean,
or the outro to Cemetery Gates.
Yeah.
You know, where he's following the guitar.
Yeah. I mean, any of that stuff, just to hear it again would be, I mean, that's what you'd like to hear, is that if he can actually do it. I'm not convinced he can do it. I mean, it's, you know, as well as I do, dude, you know, 100 vocalists that have, that once they go down the path of not doing that, then they lose that ability.
And right.
It's been an off, unless he does it secretly every day, you know, behind the scenes in the shower or whatever. I'm thinking he does not have that anymore, but hey, if he puts it out, you know damn well he's got two sales, you and me. You know, doesn't matter what he does, we're going to buy it. If he put out a rap album, we'd do it. We'd buy it.
Oh, yeah. You know. Absolutely.
Both of us were listening to N minor.
Yeah, and that's like super deep. I mean, that's like typo negative deep.
Yep.
Yeah, his quote is, "I'm this close, man holds two fingers close together. I'm this close, I'm feeling something, we'll see what it is. I've got a couple of options. I just don't know, man. If it's going to be metal, I want to do it old school. I've been kind of feeling more Halford lately, vocal-wise, just singing and using my range again. So we'll see. It's got to be right."
That to me says that it's probably already written and half recorded, because
it'll be out next week.
Yeah, with Anselmo, I mean, this guy is the king of the projects.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, how many bands does he have? 10?
He has a lot.
He has tons of bands. So if he's talking about it, it's probably already in some form of production. So
you and I have always talked about, I wish that he would sit down with a fantastic producer, get some great sounds, and put out a great album. I mean, mm-hmm. his output's been good, but it still has that weird sound that he just doesn't put enough into the production value of his music. You know, he puts out good stuff, but it just doesn't sound as good as it could. And it can sound massive.
Well, he has it in his head that good metal is made in like rapid fire. You know, it's organic, and it's, you know, and he's had that really since Down.
Yeah.
Because Pantera used to spend a lot of time in the studio with, you know, I mean, you've had Terry Date on, and mm-hmm. and he told you about how long it took for them guys to get things done. You know, Phil, with all of his Phil stuff, I honestly believe that Phil just goes into whatever studio he has there near his house and, okay, guys, we're going to rip off 5 songs today. And then that's it. And it's like, okay, that's a wrap. You know, I mean, dude, you've heard the Illegal stuff. Do you think that there's any overdubs or replays or corrective tunings or anything in any of that?
Right.
I think that stuff's damn near a live record every time.
Yeah, it's a mess, man. It's definitely a mess.
So, well, whatever. If Phil's putting out music, I'm happy. So put it out, Phil.
And I will be there for it too.
Yep, of course.
And well, since we're here for some music, let's check out some of the latest from Necrogoblicon. And then
have to keep stumbling on it. Necrogoblicon.
Necrogoblicon. And we will talk to the guys in the band. And then Chris and I will be back with you momentarily.
To fall. Maybe this time you'll bend it down.
And let's welcome Nick and Alex from NecroGoblicon to the Talk To Me podcast here at NotFest.com. Guys, how are we doing today?
Too good, man.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Awesome. New album, The Fundamental Slimes and Humor, is out April 1st. Let's talk a little bit about the writing and recording of this album. Obviously, writing and recording through a pandemic has got to be tough. And plus, you guys working with Jason Suecof. Talk a little bit about working with him with this new album.
Yeah, well, we COVID tested before we went over there, so it wasn't a big deal once we were over there pandemic wise. We kind of started it like a while ago in 2019. I want to say we recorded guitars for This Is It, yeah, along with the Chop Suey cover. And then, the rest of the time we were sort of just going, Alex would be like, oh, hey, I'm in Florida, I might as well record some guitars for some of these tracks. And it kind of got put together that way. I don't know if Alex wants to elaborate.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very different from what we usually do. Cause usually it's kind of like, all right, we've got this much time to make 10 or 11 songs and then go over there and record, you know, go over to Jason's, record them all, start with drums. This time it was like, Nikki had like 30 to 40 songs / song ideas,
like tons of ideas, right? And whatnot, you know.
So it was just kind of like this, like, okay, as we like confirmed ones we wanted to do for the album, like I'm like, all right, let's do these four songs for sure. So then I'd go over, we'd track them on guitars, Nikki would go, yeah, track them on vocals, and so that was the way we got all the songs done. And so then we just did drums and everything else last, which is usually not what we've done, but I'm pretty stoked with the results of doing it that way.
That was cool. So. Yeah. I was like, fuck it, I guess it's these 11 then. We got to cut this off, man. It's like,
yeah, this process could go forever.
Yeah, it was sort of cool doing all the drums last, because that meant we were able to make last minute tweaks to structure and stuff a lot easier, you know? I know it annoyed Jason to do it that way, but it turned out really good and it made it easier for us. So, yeah.
I don't want to get into too much COVID talk, but you guys are in California. And so going from California to Florida during the pandemic, was that just like almost like culture shock because of the different rules and regulations?
Yes. Yeah. I was once pointed and laughed at for wearing a mask.
Yeah, it's a different vibe. Most of the time spent basically camped out in Jason's studio, but going out in public is definitely a different world. Yeah, it's weird when you're living in one state to be like so used to something, and then other places is just like totally different. So it's kind of like, eh.
Yeah, through this whole thing, I think Florida was like the most like do whatever you want, and California seemed to be the most like, this is it, you have to have this and you have to have that and you have to wear a mask, and you know, it was very stringent over there, and from what I could tell.
Yeah, Florida was basically like, it was walking around, it was like they didn't even know about the pandemic.
Right. So I was watching the This Is It video. Obviously, this is a part of NotFest. And I will let you have you guys pass on to John that Slipknot wouldn't mind talking to him about a goblin being in the band.
Oh, nice. Pass it on to him. Right, that's going to be a dream come true for him.
He can be their the third keg hitter.
There you go. So what was it like kind of having him direct a video? I mean, obviously he was very into, it seemed like 80s moves with the guitars and the way you sang and twirling of drumsticks and all, man. So did you guys take the ideas you had from John?
That was the original us. We're actually clones now because those ones died.
He replaces versions of us that actually enjoy the 80s moves and stuff. The old versions didn't.
Yeah, when you see us in the future, we're just going to be doing all the stuff he was trying to get the original us's to do in the video. Yeah. Because now we've been brainwashed effectively, so it went pretty well.
And do you like that I just call him John? Like, I don't even call him John Goblicon. We're old friends now. I mean, you know, we're both interviewers, you know. We're
Goblicon is so formal, you know.
Right.
Yeah. It's John
Goblicon. Yeah. So.
Please, John Goblicon was my father's name. You can call me John.
Yeah. We're just Necro now.
Necro and the Goblicons.
Yeah.
There you go. Or whatever variation of the band name I call it whenever I talk about it. But you know, being in a band and writing songs and just kind of having, is it a freedom to kind of write songs for the band because you can kind of with a goblin in the band and kind of having that freedom to add in different styles and textures to the band, is that fun, or is it kind of like you know, some days I just want to write, you know, a love song or something like that. You know, you feel like you have to write a certain way.
No, it's good. I like it. Doesn't really affect it too much. I'd still, if we wanted to write a love song, I would just write a love song. And if we felt like it was corny or something, I would just throw the word goblin in and there you go. Yeah, you know, I still love you, goblin.
Right.
The song idea.
Just goblin love, you know.
No, it's fun. There's like, it's not too restrictive, you know, and we can sort of use it to justify anything. So in that respect, it's kind of a boon. It's fun, you know. Yeah, sure. At times you could be like, oh, I wish I was like in an emo band or something. But
you would have to say it like that, too.
We started a fucking goblin band, you know, for a reason, because we're weird dudes, you know.
So. Sometimes the glove fits, you know.
Sure. No, it's cool. I think, you know, maybe if this was like we came out of a different band, it was really serious. But no, this has been like our mindset since the inception of it. So it's kind of just what we do at this point, I would say.
Alex, that kind of goes for you too. I mean, some of the guitar lines that you do and things like that are very, you know, mythical and whatnot. I mean, is that something you think about when you're writing for the band?
Well, Nicky actually writes the music for, so wow. Nicky composes everything, but I, you know, I do think about goblins when I'm playing the riffs that he writes.
Yeah. It's an agreement that we all have to think about goblins when we're performing or recording or anything. So. As long as you're thinking about goblins actively, you're doing something right.
Yeah.
Like right now, for instance, there's a part of my brain that's just thinking about goblins. That's pretty much a constant in life.
Yeah.
I never get rid of it, actually. I've been seeing a therapist about it for 5 years or so, and it just doesn't go away. So you learn to live with it.
You starting a band in 2006 that has a goblin mascot. Obviously, you're wearing an Iron Maiden shirt for people not watching. So obviously, the Eddie, you know, correlation is somewhat there. So I mean, I feel like almost, you know, John's taken over a little bit more of a role in the band than Eddie ever did with Iron Maiden. You know, you've obviously with his interview shows and things like that. Was the goal the whole time to have Was it meant to be a mascot, or was it meant to be like what it is today?
So we didn't even actually have John Goblikon until 2012. So the band initially started as just kind of like, wouldn't it be funny to do a band just about goblins? And
right.
That, there was no further thought into that, you know? And we ended up playing a show, like a tiny show in front of like 10 people up in the valley. And this dude named Brandon Dermer was at the show and saw it and loved it and had this concept for a music video and created the John Goblikon character. And that was the No One Survives video. And that kind of launched this new era of the band where, first of all, people had heard of us. And secondly, we had this like mascot now that kind of ended up tying everything together, because we never wanted to be dudes to dress up as goblins ourselves. Like people, it would be suggestions like, why don't you guys dress up? And we're just kind of like, I don't know. That's not, that's not us, you know? So this kind of like, solved the problem of like, well, where's the goblin theme? And it's like, well, there he is, you know?
Yeah.
He's just masked on stage.
So Dermer came up and he wanted to shoot the music video. And we were like, we'd never done real music video. I was like, okay, I guess let's see what happens or whatever. And so then he did a really cool video, obviously, and we ended up playing a show at like the Whiskey or something, like featuring the No One Survives Goblin, and
right.
That show was like sold out or something, and everyone just loved it. And at that moment it was like, okay, yeah, we'll be doing this forever now, you know. Yes, we're doing this now.
we were about to get booked onto Download Fest upon the success of the video, and the agent calls our manager and just asks, the goblin's going to be there, right? And this is nothing we had discussed ever before, and he just said yes, just because we wanted to get the show.
Yeah.
So it was like, all right, well, we're doing this now. We, you know, threw ourselves into the fire. So, but you know, we haven't looked back because it's been so effective, and it's just made the show that much more fun and entertaining. So.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the System of a Down cover. Before we get in too much into it, I mean, how big of a band is System of a Down to you guys?
They're big. We love them, you know. I think we were both probably, we're the same age. We were both, we didn't know each other in high school. We were both big fans since then. So it's been, I guess, like 20 years now since then. So 20 years of being a fan, I mean, maybe not like, you know, I mean, Toxicity is obviously the best album, but I mean, it's all good stuff.
And agreed.
They kept writing throughout, but you know, what they did put out was amazing and definitely just like so unique, you know. And I feel like there's really the way they broke through with that album to such a mainstream level and such a quirky thing. It's really inspiring and just sort of crazy that even happened. I feel like,
yeah, I felt like it was really like appropriate for Necrogoblicon to do a System cover because like they were a band that never set any boundaries for themselves. So, like but I think like their only boundary really was like, well, we have to make extremely catchy music. It felt like, you know, every song was so different and quirky and weird, but you know, every song was so hooky and fun. I feel like that's what we try to do as well. So I felt like it felt like our identity was like inspired by theirs in a sense, either directly or indirectly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like formative years. It's what we were listening to. So, you know,
yeah.
Yeah. They were definitely a band that when that first album came out, I wasn't too sure about them until I went to see them live. And then I walked away going, that's like the best band I've ever seen live.
Yeah, they're great.
How was cooking with John in that video?
It was fun. Yeah, it was good. He threw in a few surprises in the form of, you know, human limbs and such, but you got to roll with the punches. And we ended up making a pretty tasty meal and then stewing in it. So it was good, you know. It was just pure chaos, honestly, and it was a blast. So yeah, slipping everywhere, the whole floor was like extremely slippery with all the shit we were throwing everywhere. You know,
that there's I took a photo of that kitchen after the shoot. It's a fucking mess.
like you know, like if there was like a trashed rat party, just the worst.
Yeah. someone thought a bear got in.
Oh, under kitchen people.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, all right.
People cleaning it up. They're like, did someone break in? What happened here?
Have you seen? There's like a 500 pound bear. What's his name? Like Hank the Tank, and he's been breaking in people's houses, and he mainly steals pizza, which is comical all around.
Oh my god, no, I haven't seen that. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's he's a big chunk of a bear, man.
The bear came in, took your pizza, but that's really funny to hear about it.
Well,
yeah.
Well, from what I could read, the people that it's happening to, some are home when it happens. He breaks in the house, he just steals the pizza, and then he leaves. And I'm like, wait a minute, you're home when this happens? Like,
yeah. Oh, hey,
yeah. Come for the pizza again.
Oh, it's just Hank. He's come for the leftovers.
he saw the Papa John's boxes in the trash can. He knows we have some leftovers. You know.
Where is it?
So yeah, the Fundamental Slimes and Humors is going to be out on Mystery Box and which is your own label. How have you enjoyed having a label? Have you guys always been independent? I guess is the question.
Yeah, we've always been an independent band. We had like we did one for Heavy Meta. We had like a services deal where we put up our own money, but they kind of with a razor and tie, and they kind of helped us out with it. But it's always been us investing in it and us kind of steering the ship. So it's been, it's obviously more work, but
yeah,
we get to keep all of our royalties. So, you know, in that right. sense, it's
also
completely worth
like
it.
Full creative control of whatever we want. No one really has a say. No one can be like, well, you have to change that because we're in charge and that's that. So we're just, it's kind of nice not to have that pressure. It kind of makes for more work at times because you have to constantly be second guessing everything and figuring it out for yourself. But on the other hand, we've learned so much doing it over the years that now it's hard to imagine it any other way, you know.
Totally.
So does the John Goblicon, like the TV show, the YouTube show, whatnot, does that fall under the umbrella of the band or is that a separate thing? Like financially, I guess that's kind of where I'm going with that, because you know, you could take the money made from the show, put it back into the band. I mean, is it all kind of under the same umbrella in that way?
Yeah, it's all from Necrogoblin Corp, as we call it sometimes, you know, just the general. So yeah, it's like we're beyond just a band musically. It's like Brandon, the creator, John, and Dave Rispoli, who plays John Goblicon. They're like bandmates too, but they're kind of visual bandmates and comedic bandmates that they create. And you know, so they're at the helm of creating right now and of the character. And we kind of make it together. We make it into one cohesive, somewhat cohesive, chaotic kind of experience. But yeah, it's so like, and again, because we, you know, keep all of our royalties, it allows us to fund stuff like right now and John Goblicon endeavors.
Yeah. And that can take on any sort of life of its own, but yeah, it's definitely always intrinsically tied. And so like a kind of an umbrella, and we just, you know, the more we can do, the more we will do, I think.
So Nick, starting this band in 2006, I mean, did you ever think it would kind of get to this point?
You've got so much going on. Not at all. Never, ever, ever would have guessed it. But almost 16 years later, this would be my life. And it was like, at that time, it was just me and another buddy, and we recorded it in this garage for MySpace. And it started getting some plays on MySpace, and it was like, whoa, do people actually like this, you know? And then he went back to school. He was at UCSB, and that's where he met Alex and the rest of the band at that time, and actually put it together into a live thing. And even at that point, it was still just like kind of just playing local shows for a real long time, keggers and whatnot. And there was no ambition to be like, we want to be like a successful touring band or anything like that. But over the years, it just morphed. And yeah, I guess after the video, I started doing festivals and shit. It was like, oh crap, are we really doing this? You know?
just
literally, yeah, just a couple nerds making stupid goblin jokes. I mean, I had no idea this would be like a band or anything. Yeah.
You know, looking back on MySpace, that's the one thing that is missing in social media, I think, is the band aspect, because MySpace was great for bands. Like,
yeah, absolutely. It was sweet. Yeah, it was really music forward. You know, I remember. Yeah. Couldn't, so like even on your personal page, you could have like music playing and whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Very customized. Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, Spotify. But I mean, it's great. It's great to have access to all that music, but it's honestly harder to find stuff. And yeah, it doesn't have that social component, which maybe is a good thing, but MySpace still felt like kind of personal in a way, I guess, getting a message from someone or whatnot. Yeah. You know, it wasn't as sort of streamlined as it all is today. So yeah, you can search for whatever you want on Spotify, but it's like, how are you going to find it? And where's the little grassroots thing? I guess people on Reddit or something. There was like the whole SoundCloud rap thing too. I mean, mm-hmm. There's like, how did people even hear about that? I don't know. But yeah, I definitely missed that aspect of MySpace. And yeah, Facebook kind of never had that, I think, in the same way.
Hey, Facebook was like too streamlined. They didn't let you customize anything. So it's just kind of like,
MySpace,
you can't play music on it.
Quirky background, all
that. Oh, MySpace, we all learned how to code.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's true.
We all knew how to make a shiny, you know, a glittery background and everything else going
on. Yeah. Oh, man. Top 8 and everything. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hey, if you broke up with your girlfriend, got a fight with your friend, yeah. I mean, that was the first thing you did. Out of the top 8, replaced.
Yeah. Yeah. Just going back to Tom, man. Fuck
yeah. And you know, the bulletins, I think, was always great too. Like, there was nothing great than like posting, you know, a show bulletin or something like that. Like, here we go, we're about to do a weekend tour, you know, or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. We're playing at Smelly's Bar again this Saturday. Yeah,
it wasn't like a feed back then, right? It wasn't like a feed. You would just go to the page, whichever page you wanted to go to, and you'd be like, ooh, did they post any pictures?
Or yeah, because like the message bulletin feed would be like this tiny square in the corner.
So yeah, it wasn't
this invasive thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
interesting.
Yeah. Let's go back to that.
Yeah, it's like, dang, I kind of missed that. Now
that was nice.
But yeah, I mean, there was definitely, you know, towards the end there, I think the bots and everything else kind of messed it all up. I mean, I did join a band at one point. I looked over and they had some sort of friend bot going on to where they could, you could post your band that way. But I mean, there was a lot of, you know, I think the big one to me was like Job for a Cowboy or something like that. Like those MySpace bands and like MySpace Core, Suicide Silence, and all those guys, you know,
with all the cartoon clips and everything. Yeah.
They had like, so millions. It was just like, what? Where'd this come from? Drop for Cowboy. Yeah, we were blasting that back then. Doom EP or whatever. Yeah.
Still a classic EP.
Yeah.
So good.
it was just so inspiring. And just like, how'd they do this? Yeah. So, totally. We used a bot at one time.
I won't tell anybody. Hey, but it worked. I'll tell you that much.
Well,
it worked.
We sent them all individual, personalized messages. We just found them musing about it. You know, like, oh, fans of Children of Bodom, hello, you should listen to our band, kind of thing. So it was sort of, it was like a moral botting.
You know? Moral, yeah. That was like the time that I downloaded White Pony by the Deftones. But I was like, I'm still going to buy it when it comes out. I just, you know, so it was, there was a moral behind it then, you know?
Yeah. You know,
I did that same thing with that album. I burned a copy off a friend and loved it and ended up buying it. But
yeah, I think that was the first album that we found prior to it coming out from like start to finish. And I think, you know, like Change had AIDS, you know, WKDF, you know, at the beginning. Yeah. It was not like that. Somebody taped it off the radio or whatever. But yeah, nice. You had. It was definitely like one of the first. And then my buddy had like a T1 connection. So, you know, it only took a whole day to download the album.
I forgot about T1 connection.
Yeah, right.
Back then, I was always like, man, I wonder what it's like to have T1.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it was amazing. You could start the album before school, and by the time you got home, it may or may not be done.
Yeah. High speed.
But so having, you know, the everything kind of coming together for you for, you know, with John Goblikon, the character and the TV show and the new album, everything coming together, man, how is life right now for you, Nick?
It's pretty good. We're kind of just, in the phase of getting excited about release and upcoming tour stuff. And it's been a while cause we've been, you know, through the pandemic. So I guess the bulk of the past 3.5 years has just been like writing, going through creative insanity, going to Florida, coming back, working on stuff. So it's a super big relief to kind of be done with that phase for a while. So that's great for one, because it's been like 3 years of that. You kind of just get acclimated to it. And then, yeah, with the pandemic being, I guess, like 2 years going now, we haven't toured. I guess it's been just about 2 years, honestly, since we last played a show. So now it seems like things are on the horizon again. It's kind of like overwhelming, but it's also exciting that life is going to keep moving forwards, you know? So, it's good. It's a good time, I think. Yeah.
How about you, Alex?
Yeah, I echo all those sentiments. Yeah, it's this was a particularly long album process, but I think the proof is in the pudding. I'd say personally, yeah, I think I'm stoked on the album. Stoked to show it to people.
Yeah, the first 100 pre-orders get pudding with the album.
Yeah, proof pudding.
Proof pudding. Also. It's a green pudding. And, you can claim it at the show when you buy an expensive backstage ticket thing we're gonna do. No.
How often do you guys sit around and think about the character and what you can do in videos and everything else? Like how outlandish do you get before you have to start reeling yourself in?
I think, you know, we pretty much roll with most of the silly ideas that come to mind. I don't want to say.
But one that we haven't done that I wish we would do, which is just John Goblikon punching school children.
that's the idea we thought of on tour. Yeah, that's
Goblin just punching kids. It's maybe a bit much, you know. So.
Well, there's a great old he's Peyton Manning on SNL, and he's doing like a United Way thing for kids. But he's playing like backyard football, but he's yelling at them and throwing the ball at them really hard. Like why are you not running the right route? And stuff. And it's classic. So yeah, you can get away with that.
Yeah, we've definitely had some crazy ideas. You know, we got certain things just not doable.
And ultimately we're trying to keep the character extremely consistent with what's been, we have, there is a kind of lore of John Goblikon and there's also a lot of plans further from what we're doing with John Goblikon right now. So we want to just make sure this character is like, all right, yeah, that's something John would do. Or yeah, if it's, you know, as funny as it would be for John to beat up a bunch of children, because I think this is, you know, like if you've seen that It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode where I think it's one of the later seasons. Yeah, those kids on bikes. Yeah, it just reminded me of that. And that was funny. But so far it's not really something he would do. I mean, maybe in the right if we created the right context.
Yeah, yeah, we have to
keep made it really earned. Like, these kids deserve.
We can always make a secondary mascot just to do this crazy.
Like his cousin Ron Goblin.
Yeah,
Ron,
we've actually thought of that exact name, Ron Goblin, and he's red. He's a red goblin.
Red goblin. He's sort of like a used car salesman goblin. Yeah. Tickets O'Malley was another idea for an alternate mascot. It was like a little British street urchin. He'd be like, "Have you got your tickets?" You know. And
this is where we forget about our goblin theme altogether and just descend into absurdity. And just everything's fair game.
Dead. Now we have an orphan.
Like a T-1000 shows up. Too much fun, man. Well, the one thing that I think is awesome is you saying that everything's independent is how good everything looks. I mean, the not that it's a costume, because it's a real, you know, real goblin, but how good he looks as a goblin and everything else, you know, being in house like that, man. So that's kudos to you guys for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a big production, you know. Involved with that.
It takes a whole village. So a lot of awesome, talented people we've worked with in order to make it all happen.
Awesome, guys. Well, like we said, the Fundamental Slimes and Humor's out April 1st, Mystery Box Records. And you said a little bit about touring. Anything on the books yet? Anything out yet that we're going to talk about for this summer?
So we actually just confirmed a tour a couple days ago, but we can't say yet. We're waiting on them to tell us when we can say it. But I imagine within the next couple of weeks, I imagine we get it announced. It's exciting.
People will be quite excited about it too. So just keep an eye out on the ages and whatnot.
Yeah.
So you can make sure you get your tickets.
So we talked pudding and everything else. Well, where would you guys send people to pre-order album, pre-save album, all that good stuff?
So yeah, we have a merch store, which is with Logistic Lines /AKT. So it's a URL. If you go on any of our social media pages, we'll have the link there, and it can take you right there.
And if you Google, at least in the US, I mean, it's a US store predominantly, right? But you just Google Necrogoblicon merch and it'll just pop up. That's the place where you order the album, right? It's like the only place.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the only place to get the physical album. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and in terms of pre-save, I don't know. Do we have one of those? Or?
Oh, on Spotify? Yeah, I haven't. Yeah, we talked about doing the pre-save thing. Yeah, we should do that, huh? Man.
Yeah, it seems like, is this a business meeting or an interview?
Yes. This is the first album I've even heard that term. So yeah.
I think that might be the first time I've ever said that out loud.
This is news to me. You know? Yeah, right.
Well, Nick and Alex, man, thanks for taking some time with me today. And I think that might have been the worst intro to an episode I've ever done. So congratulations.
it was funny.
Good stuff, man. Yeah, it was good times.
Yeah, nice to meet you, man.
All right, guys, take care, and we'll see you out on the road.
Necrogoblicon.
All right, guys, a huge thank you to Necrogoblicon for coming on the show, and make sure to check out their new album, The Fundamental Slimes and Humors, out April 1st. I believe that is on
Friday.
Said, well, I was going to say what label it's on.
Oh,
Mystery Box Records.
Oh, Mystery Box. I have all their stuff.
Man, they put out great videos. They're obviously a very visual band with the goblin John Goblicon in the band. And obviously John Goblicon's got his own talk show. So make sure to check it out, man. It's just they're self-sufficient. They're an independent band, but they put out such cool stuff. Like you need to check out the after we get off here, check out the video for Right Now.
Okay.
And it's just not. Yeah, it's just funny. So
very cool. I will do that.
Good fun times.
Good, good.
Well, man, you got any recommendations for this week?
I do. I told you about this earlier in the week. I am stunned that this is as good as it is. It's a band that I have hated up until literally this album. This is album number 6, and I've hated the first 5. But Insight, Richie Cavalera's band, is back with a new album called Wake Up Dead. And I'll be damned if it ain't fantastic. It's produced by Steve Evitz, which really changes the production value for them. And it's fantastic. And it does have, for the first time, it has the combination of the Cavaleras on vocals with Richie and Max doing a song called War Soup. And, but it's just a solid hour of just pummeling groove type metal, man. It's for some reason they were more of that trying to be Sepultura type thing.
Right.
They've kind of gone more Pantera ish on this, and it's really an improvement. So that is my recommendation, Insight with Wake Up Dead, new release from them.
Awesome. I've got two recommendations this week. A friend of mine, Shauna Potter, who's been on the podcast, vocalist of the band War on Women. She has a podcast out now called But Her Lyrics. Just kind of going through some of the War on Women songs. They kind of started this over the pandemic, kind of a different way to get out to fans and kind of talk about the different songs that they have out. She's obviously, you're going to love this, but she's big into the feminist world, things like that, has all that going on. But a friend of mine, friend from way back, very cool that she's still out there doing stuff. And I think I met her in like 98 or 99, wow, somewhere in there. Like, so it's cool to just kind of see the evolution of everybody, man. It's funny how many people from that era of my life are still doing things in the music industry.
Sure.
And, but yeah, it's very cool, man. So yeah, the vocalist of War on Women, Shauna Potter's podcast, But Her Lyrics, go check that out. And then I did want to throw out kind of a quick review of The Batman.
Okay.
We talked about it earlier with my son kind of listening to the Nirvana song in it and kind of, taking him right over to Metallica, which is like, all right, let's do that. My simple review of it, long as hell, but I was never out of it. Like it's right at 3 hours long.
Yeah, it's long.
But it probably could have been, three episodes of episodic TV, because there's kind of like a couple of different storylines going on that could have, it seems like as something wraps up, something else starts. So like a whole new movie starts. I didn't hate Robert Pattinson as Bruce Wayne. Obviously the Twilight guy,
right.
Also in Harry Potter. So that was kind of cool. It was shot very well. Music, very good. Storyline's pretty awesome. I did not until like just recently realized that that's Colin Farrell as the Penguin.
Okay.
Not even kind of like it's, sure, you just assume it's some new guy, that you've never heard of.
Right. How does it compare stylistically? Is it Batman Begins dark, or is it more Bane era, or more Heath Ledger era? I mean, what stylistically, does it fit?
It's super dark.
Okay.
It's super dreary. Like the whole thing's, Wayne Manor is in shambles, and it seems to be, and it's always raining and dirty and musty, and and then there's obviously they're going into the underground clubs and things like that. So yeah, it's very deep and dark, and I like that they kind of came out with the Riddler and the Penguin are kind of the OG characters in this one.
Okay.
They didn't come straight out with the Joker. Obviously he does show up towards the end in a weird way, but they didn't just be like, here's Batman, here's Joker, like 1A, 1B in the Batman world. Like, the next movie obviously will have more of the Arkham Asylum cast and things like that. And I'm not the biggest comic book dude. Like we took my son and one of his friends, and when we were leaving, he was like, so I asked him, I was like, do you like Batman? He's like, oh, I read the comics. And I was like, so I asked him, I was like, is this based on a certain storyline? Is this based on a certain series? And he's like, I think they were just kind of taking some liberties, but
sure.
But as for a movie, and obviously block out some time, but we've talked about this in the past too. I love the fucking movies.
Sure. So,
three hours at the movies, you don't have to ask me twice.
Right, exactly. Well, as long as it's cool. I mean, that's the problem with the Batmans as an entity is that some of them are good and some of them are not. You know, I mean, if you would have said, yeah, it reminds me a lot of the Arnold Schwarzenegger one, I'd been like, oh, no way. But, you know, I love the darker ones. I love like Batman Begins and the Heath Ledger one. And, you know, those are solid. So if it's like that, I may have to block out some time and actually venture out of the cave here and go and see a movie.
You know, it's definitely fun. It's definitely, you know, it obviously has some loopholes that you're like, well, I don't know about that, or story, you know, like story plots, or you know, like, well, how did that get there? But
sure,
you know, things like that. But for the most part, it's pretty well done. I like Very it cool. and enjoyed it. So there we go. But Her Lyrics, the podcast, and the Batman, and then obviously Insight. All right, anything else going on? We got a few minutes here. Let's wrap up with some football talk, because this NFL season has gone banana sandwich. obviously, as we record today, Tyreek Hill just traded. He was rumored to be traded and then traded within like 30 minutes.
Right.
And, you know, he goes to Miami. Aaron Rodgers stays in Green Bay.
Right.
We've got Russell Wilson to the Broncos.
Right.
Devontae Adams to the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Your boy Watson goes to Cleveland.
Yes, sir.
Mariota signed with the Falcons.
Right.
It's just like, it's like one thing after another, man. It's like these
Ryan to the Colts.
Ryan to the Colts. Yeah, we can't forget that one. So it's like I'm wondering if the NFL is if the sun is the NBA. Are they flying a little too close to the sun?
Yeah, you mean as far as the contracts and everything?
Just the trades and the super teams and all that stuff. You know, I honestly think we're about to get out of that era where you go into the off season and you grab one or two.
Oh yeah,
free agents.
Mm-hmm.
Like now, it's like you get all the free agents.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a different. I think we won't know for 2 or 3 years. I think that's when we're really going to know, because these contracts are huge.
Yeah.
And if whichever one is the first one to bust, that's going to be the one that's really going to show what happens if you do this. Because, you know, if it's here, if it's Deshaun Watson, and, you know, because that's the most ridiculous contract of all time.
Right.
$230 million, you know, for basically for a 4-year deal, you know, they're paying him a lot of money for a short amount of time, but long enough to if Watson goes out and breaks his ankle week one or in preseason or whatever,
yeah,
and never can play again, dude, how screwed are the Browns for a decade or more when they don't have any draft picks and they don't have any cap space? Because, dude, I mean, if he gets hurt, or Rodgers is another one. If Aaron Rodgers gets hurt in those first, 3 years of his contract are all guaranteed. If he gets hurt and can't ever play again, the cap hit is going to stop him from being able to get a replacement. You know, when you're talking $40 million cap hit, man, yeah, that's a lot of risk.
I think all the teams are also banking on, you know, Amazon's about to get into the game, Netflix and all the streaming services, and DirecTV's stranglehold over Sunday Ticket's about to go away. So it's like the influx of cash. The salary cap's about to probably go up crazy over the next few years.
Well, and dude, you know, the football players and the football player unions, more to the point, are watching the other sports. They're seeing every baseball player making $200 to $300 million a contract. They're seeing every basketball player with their max deals are all like in the $150, $200 million range. And the football players that are actually taking the most risk of anybody, you know, it's like, why aren't they getting paid? And now seems like they are. I'm going to be interested to see when it gets down to like the linemen and stuff. Right now it's all skills guys, but you know, as well, I mean, dude, you're a Titans fan.
Mm-hmm.
If the Titans line is dead, Derrick Henry is nothing.
Right.
You know, so they're going to have to pay some linemen. They're going to have to pay some quality guys, some quality money. Those guys aren't going to, they're not going to be looking at, I don't know, Julio Jones. I know they cut him, but they're not going to look at Julio Jones making $15 million a year and say, "Yeah, I'll take $2 million."
Right.
You know, they're just not going to do that.
Yeah, you know, the thing with Deshaun Watson going to the Browns, there was a Houston writer that I follow. He was talking about Watson has played in Cleveland one time, mm-hmm. and it was quite possibly one of the worst games he's ever played. He had like four yards of completion, lost by like three, I think. But they said that basically it came down to, I'm obviously a $230 million fully guaranteed contract.
Yeah.
He's going to deal with the weather and the cold and not knowing anybody and having to live in Cleveland. And
he'll figure it out. Hey, you say all you want. I'm happy that we got our all criminal team forming. It's good with me. You know, they're just blips on my screen. So just entertain me. But yeah, as far as that, he'll be fine. I mean, dude, he's played outside before. Everybody makes that assumption of, well, it's cold here. Hey, it's not really. I mean, we didn't get snow here this year until I think January. So by then the Browns were long gone. So, so it wouldn't have affected him this year. And, you know, even though he had a bad game, he only had one bad game here. So what? It was because of our crazy great defense, apparently.
There you go.
You know, that's now that he doesn't have to play our fantastic defense, he should be all world. That's the way I'll look at that.
Well, he gets to practice against it, so it'll make him
better. That's right. He'll be a superstar. And come on, dude. I mean, what do you have? 4,800 yards and 7 picks the last season that he played?
Yeah.
He'll be fine.
No, he's a good one. Like I said, I watched him, year after year in the AFC South, and don't get me wrong, we beat the Texans a few times, but they were always a team that you were just like, oh,
mm-hmm. well, sucks. And now he's going to have a lot of weapons that he didn't have in Houston. You know, I mean, yeah. he really didn't have a strong defense to give him extra sets of
right.
Of
well, he had. He had whatchamacallit there, DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, DeAndre. I mean, he had Hopkins, which, I mean, is Hopkins that much better than Amari Cooper?
Yeah.
You think he's that much better, like a world better?
Yes.
Really? I don't know about all that. I mean, he's great. I'm not saying he's not great, but Amari Cooper's good for 80, 90 catches a year.
Yeah, but Deshaun, just not Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins is probably one of the top five receivers in the league.
Well, dude, I saw that Beckham's talking about coming back here.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. You get rid of Baker and Landry and Beckham are both like, hey, we'll come back. Let's run it back, team.
Yeah, they need to hurry up and get rid of Baker so that they can sign these guys.
Yeah, that would free up your cap right there.
Yeah, that would be enough to sign Landry anyway.
Oh man, but yeah, the NFL offseason this year has been crazy, and just like I said, every time I turn around, my phone's going off. Like this person traded this person. Don't forget mm-hmm. Robert Woods to the Titans. You know that'll put it over the top there. A little Bobby Trees.
This is bothering me though. The NFL constant is bothering me. Is man, I haven't been able to immerse myself in USFL yet.
No, I mean my Michigan Panthers are going to take it all, but.
Dude, nobody is talking. I hate it for the USFL because there is no buzz on that because the offseason of the NFL has been so crazy. There's literally zero buzz on this thing.
I will say, and you know, we are a very pro USFL podcast, yes. But there is a guy on the Michigan Panthers, and his name is Trey Threat. And if that dude does not play offense, defense, and special teams, like his name is a lie.
Because nice.
That might be the best name I've seen in football in a long time. He better be the punter, the kicker, and the placeholder.
He better play everything. He better play baseball.
Do something, man. Yeah. Trey Threat.
That's awesome. When does that start? That starts pretty soon, doesn't it? Another week or two?
Yeah, middle of April, I think.
Yeah, okay, so about a month.
So have you latched onto a team? Have you?
I have not yet. I'm kind of waiting. I mean, back in the day, I was a Generals fan, I don't know that I just want to latch on to the team that I was a fan of 30 years ago. I did that with the Browns, and it's been a tough two decades. So
you're going to let a couple weeks play out, and you're like, all right. Oh, 2-0. I like you guys.
I would never do that, but I definitely would like to at least see them on the field, like even with a practice game or something, so I could say, okay, that's my team. I hate to be like the stereotypical girl of the past and go, oh, I like the uniform. That's my team.
You're going to go by mascot?
Yeah, I don't want to be that guy. I'd like to actually have a little knowledge, but I don't know. You know, I'll watch it, dude. I watched every bit of the AAF and the XFL and everything. I if it's pro football, I'll watch it.
Yeah, I actually had the USFL draft pulled up on YouTube as it was going on. Like, that's, I was like, wow. I was cooking dinner and it was going on. They actually did a snake draft. It was 1 through 8 and then eight through one or whatever. But yeah.
Was there any names that you knew?
Paxton Lynch actually went to the Michigan Panthers as but I think he went as the backup quarterback, which is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, so some names like that here and there, but yeah, nothing too crazy.
Right. No Johnny Manziel.
No, Manziel was, I think he might be going back to that fan fun league or whatever it was called. Where the fans were like calling in the plays and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Banana sandwich.
He's not good enough to play in the lingerie bowl. So stop it.
Well, that's been our football talk here at the tail end here. Talk to me. You're on notfest.com. Man, it's just like, you know, as of recommendations go, if you want to watch something crazy, watch the NFL offseason. It's crazy.
Yep, no doubt.
And again, what's the name of the band?
Necrogoblicon.
The Fundamental Slimes and Humor is out April 1st. Cool, so cool. For the Talk To Me podcast here, notfest.com, I'm Joshua Toomey.
I am Chris Hagan.
And I have not been traded for 2 number 1 picks.
Yet.
That's a good ending.
The Talk To Me podcast, presented by NotFest.com. Follow the show at Talk To Me Talk. Be sure to subscribe, rate the podcast, and leave a review on your favorite podcast app to get the latest from the Talk To Me podcast.